Welcome, everyone. My name is Jill, and I am so glad you have joined us today for our online service. If you are new or joining us for the first time, welcome, and thank you so much for being with us. If you have a prayer request or want to connect with a pastor, you can contact us through our app or email us at the email address on your screen. Our Christian Assembly LA app is available to download on Android and Apple devices. You can find out about our upcoming events, access our daily Bible reading plan, and our past weekend service videos on the app. You guys, we also want to say thank you so much for your giving and your ongoing generosity. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website simply by clicking on the Give tab. You can sign up to give online through either the app or website if you haven't already done so. For those of you mailing in your offering, you can make your check out to Christian Assembly Church and send it to the address below. You guys, we have had several people make commitments to follow Jesus Christ in this season, and so we want to congratulate you and say how excited we are for your new life in Christ. If you are thinking about making a decision to follow Jesus now or at any point during our service, or if you make that decision during our service, would you email us at the address on your screen, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855, and one of our pastors will personally follow up with you to pray for you and encourage you with next steps. You guys, thank you again so much for being with us online today. We encourage you to continue to worship with us for the rest of the service. We also want to let you know it's a baptism weekend, and so we are so excited to see some people get baptized. Let's pray for our service, and let's pray specifically for those who have made a recent commitment to follow Jesus. God, thank you so much for Christian Assembly Church. Thank you for everyone who is part of this church and everyone who is visiting and joining us and checking things out. God, I pray that you would speak to us and encourage us and strengthen us through this service. Lord, we also thank you so much for all those who have made recent decisions to follow Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would strengthen them and guide them and that you would grow their faith in you. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Family, I want to welcome you this weekend. Let's worship our God together. And any guests, come on, let's sing.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
Here we go.
Chosen seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace.
separated in this season, but we have been bonded together by the love of Christ, so we can sing scripture together like this. How good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity, and praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity, and praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Of the goodness of God right now feels tough. I know for me, but one thing I've been telling myself is that I have no evidence of God being anything but good, because he's been so good to me. Even in this time, it's been one of the hardest years of my life. But he's been so good to me, and so I can sing of his goodness because I have evidence of his goodness. So let's sing this morning. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. All my life you have been faithful. Yeah. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your voice, you have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived.
That's right.
In the goodness of God.
Say all my life.
The goodness. the goodness of God.
Amen, amen, amen.
Praise Him, oh, from whom all blessings flow. Oh, praise. Blessings flow. Sing it with us. Say, praise Him. From whom all blessings flow. One more time. Say, praise Him. From whom all blessings flow.
Let's sing the doxology together. Praise God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above.
Praise Father and the Son.
Praise Father and the Son.
Baptism is something that we do because Jesus commanded us and instructs us to do this. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We go into the water being washed away of our sins. And when we rise up, it's like we are raised to new life with Christ, now able to live the new life that He has provided for us to do.
My name is Clementine. Growing up in a Christian household, I was aware of the belief in God, but I was a complete stranger to who Jesus really was. Only over the last few years have I begun to grasp the meaninglessness of life without His presence. This has helped me deal with this life's disappointments and fills the holes in my life that only Jesus can fill. We baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My name is Haley. I was raised Catholic for many years, but didn't feel like I belonged. I've heard God calling me for a while, and I wasn't sure what first steps to take. After my short time with Fusion, I know that God has called me to be baptized now. So Haley, because of this declaration of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Rick. After a season of being lost, I started to sense that my life without Christ was not complete. I'm getting baptized to follow Jesus because I want to know Him more and the cleansing power of His love for my life. Jesus Christ has changed my life forever, not only me, but my family as well.
Upon your confession of faith, Rick, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is May Lynn. About 3 years ago, I found myself really empty and wishing to have find a church to attend and grow deeper in my faith. Then I found Christian Assembly, and during Christmas last year, I decided to finally make the decision to get baptized. We baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My name is Erica. 3 years ago, when I first came to Christian Assembly, I wasn't sure if I was ready, but we started attending every Sunday. I felt God's presence in a real way. I want to be baptized at this time because I want to make a new step in faith with Christ and get rid of my old self and start again with a new one. We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
My name is Paolo. I believe without turning my life to Jesus, my life will never be complete. Jesus has changed my life forever, and for that reason, I'm choosing to follow him. So Paolo, upon your declaration of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Hey, welcome everybody. Whether you are spiritually convinced or unconvinced about Jesus, I am so grateful that you have chosen to join us during this time. For any visitors or guests, my name is Tom. I'm one of the pastors here at Christian Assembly, and what a joy to be with you. God is going to use this time to speak his word into your life and build your spirits and build faith and maybe even give some of you faith for the very first time. Before we jump into the teaching, I want to give you kind of a little update, and I want to say thank you to all of you who are life group leaders or are in life groups. We have in-person life groups that are happening with all the appropriate safety precautions that are taking place, and I am hearing great, great things about that. You know, sometimes I'll have people ask me, hey, when are we going to begin to meet in person? And I want to tell you that that's already happening. There are life groups that are meeting in person, gathering socially distanced with masks, and they are engaging with God's word through these online services together. And those that have been doing that have said, man, it has been amazing. So if you're interested in that, I encourage you to be part of that. Those of you that are doing that, keep it up, way to go. Others of you are part of an online life group, and I've heard great things there as well. Maybe you're not yet comfortable to gather for various different reasons. You could be high risk or whatever the case may be, but you're in an online group, and I just want to say way to go on that, and thank you to the leaders on that. One of the things I've noticed as I've been pastoring individuals throughout this season is the people that are under, I would say, some of the most strain and stress, I often ask them, are you in a life group? And often they'll say, well, no, I'm not. And I want to encourage you, do not do life alone. Do life together, whether you want to do it online, whether you want to do it in person in one of our life groups that's meeting at home in person. I want to encourage you to do that. I want you to join a group. You can go to our website and find all the different groups that are there. Maybe if you don't want to do the website, you can call our church office. You can find the phone number there and call. You can contact one of the pastors, and we will help connect you, whether in person or online, to one of the groups that are meeting. So I want to encourage you and thank all of you who are doing that already. Well, God is going to speak to us from his word. A few years ago, Burger King was set to open its very first location in the country of Belgium. They had never had a Burger King there before. And so part of their strategy to try to drum up some publicity about this grand opening is they did a marketing campaign where they asked this question, who's the king? And on their website, they allowed people to vote for two choices. The first was the fictional mascot Burger King. You've probably seen that mascot even here in the U.S. But the second option you could vote for was a cartoonized version of the real Belgian king at the time, King Philip. And the website said this, there are two kings, but only one single crown. Who shall reign? you get to choose. Well, the mock election was going on, and it eventually caught the attention of the royal Belgian family, and a spokesperson for the family came out and gave an official statement of disapproval. This is what they said. They said, since it's being used for commercial purposes, we would have never given the authorization of the likeness of King Philip to be used. Well, it appears that both Burger King and the Belgium royal family, including the Belgian king, know that only one king can rule in your life. In our world of 1,000 different distractions, Jesus came saying that there's something called the kingdom of heaven, and that it's not distant, but he said that it's actually come near, and that it requires a change of perspective and a change of heart, a change of mind, because of the one true king that has come. It's not a kingdom of burgers or Belgium politics, but the kingdom of heaven breaking out, even here on earth, even now. And so if you want to know about that king, know what his kingdom is about, and how to enter into it and live in accordance with that kingdom, you need to know the Sermon on the Mount, which we're about to jump into. So let's pray. God, we thank you that your kingdom isn't distant or far away, but that it's near. So we come to you now. Lord, I pray for every single person who's under the sound of my voice. I pray for every life group that's meeting in person, gathering together. I pray you would encourage them and strengthen them. Every life group that's meeting online and processing the Sermon on the Mount together online, you would encourage them. Every individual, wherever they may be, Lord, I pray you would encourage them in homes and, Lord, in parks, that you would encourage them, Lord, as families and as roommates and even businesses that are sharing with coworkers. God, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Even now, even through this message, I pray. Reach our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God more than any other topic that he taught on. In fact, the Sermon on the Mount is really his kind of description of this kingdom and how it works and how your heart and mind are going to have to change to enter into it. In fact, throughout this sermon, he uses the word kingdom 8 different times, constantly reminding us that his teaching is about this thing called the kingdom of God. He begins the sermon with 9 marks of what we have called living as a kingdom-ready disciple. What it looks like to live now, both in his kingdom, but also anticipating and praying for an even fuller manifestation of his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Last week, we saw Jesus open by saying the first 3 marks of those who are marked by the kingdom, have a change of heart, want to enter into the kingdom, is that they are poor in spirit, that they mourn, and they are meek. And if that's you, Jesus says, congratulations, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will be comforted and you will inherit the earth. Well, this week we're digging into the next 3 marks that Jesus gives of what it looks like whenever you are living as a kingdom-ready disciple. Jesus goes on and says this in verse 6 of Matthew 5. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In the Bible, righteousness is a desire to have a right relationship with God, a right relationship with others, and a right relationship with creation. But that's not how we start life. For example, when you become a new parent, there's an entire industry that's set up to convince you that if you do all the right things, then your child will be pure and be good and only desire righteousness all the time. So you feed them the very best food. You play Baby Einstein DVDs so that they'll grow up brilliant. You only let them watch Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood so that they can learn all of the lessons that Daniel Tiger has to share. But then it's so strange, right? You do all of this, and you never taught them how to lie, but then one day, they lie anyways. You never taught them how to be selfish. In fact, you told them and showed them Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood with lessons on sharing, but then you go on a play date, and you see them grab a toy out of their playmate's hand and says, no, mine. You never taught them that, but that's coming out of them. It's strange. You never taught them how to be selfish, how to care about themselves more than anyone else, but they become masters of it. And so we all are. God wants to create a hunger and thirst for righteousness, but it requires a change of heart. You know, it's interesting. Jesus never said, just follow your heart. Instead, he said, change your heart if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, remember, right before this sermon about being and living as a kingdom-ready disciple, Jesus said this in Matthew 4, verse 17. He said, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent. That word literally just means change your heart, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. You know, when people are hungry for something, when they're not hungry, that's a sign of illness. And it's a sign of sickness. And one of the signs that doctors will use to show that health is beginning to come into that person's body is that their appetite comes back. So it is with our spiritual life as well. If you have no appetite to be right with God, no appetite to be right with others, no appetite to be right with creation, that is a sign that something is not right. Hunger, the return of appetite, is actually a sign that something is changing. Now, this is a bit of a paradox here. Someone can be a notorious sinner. They can have hate God and hate their neighbors and could care less about anything else, and that not bother them at all. But then, slowly, the kingdom of God begins to break into their life. And here's the first thing that happens. Their appetites begin to change. They begin to desire to be made right with God and with others. But often when that begins to happen, they have never felt further away from God. It's kind of strange. I often respond when they come and they're like, well, I got to tell you what's going on. I feel so bad about this sin. I feel so horrible about what I did or said to someone else. And I say to them, wow, it is amazing that God is giving you a hunger for something different. And they say, well, what do you mean? I just told you how heartbroken I am over how I've treated people and how heartbroken I am over how I've disregarded God. And you're telling me that's amazing? And I'm saying yes, because it's a sign that God is putting a new hunger in your heart, that you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It's a sign of the kingdom of heaven come near. Let me ask you, how's your spiritual appetite these days? What are you hungry for? When's the last time that you've praised God, you've sung in your car, maybe you're driving to work or to the grocery store or whatever it might be? When's the last time that you've been so hungry for others to know God that you've initiated a spiritual conversation with a friend? When's the last time you fell on your knees in prayer and said, Lord, I need you today? You know, one of the things I've noticed in my own life, but also pastoring many others, is that disobedience kills spiritual appetite. Unrepented and unconfessed sin in our life can linger, and if you let it linger long enough, you will begin to lose your appetite for the things of God, for righteousness, to be right with God and others. You'll begin to lose your appetite to read God's word. You'll begin to lose your appetite to hear a message like this, a sermon. You'll begin to lose your appetite to join an online life group or maybe one that's meeting in person. Why? Because you begin to feel uncomfortable around people who have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's the same with physical diets, right? If all you eat for breakfast is ice cream and cookies, and maybe you have a friend who they only eat veggie omelets, and they invite you to go to breakfast, you're going to feel a little strange wolfing down your ice cream and cookie breakfast, sitting across them while they're eating their veggie omelet. Why is that? Because you realize that you are hungering and thirsting for something that isn't going to be good for you. Well, Tom, how can I build a hunger and thirst for righteousness? Well, it begins where Jesus began last week. Be poor in spirit. Tell God that you need him to change your appetite. You need him to change your desire from the inside out. And then, just like physical exercise builds a healthy appetite, spiritual exercise does the same thing. So decide now, decide right in this moment that you're going to be God's man or be God's woman in your friendships and your family and your community and your workplace and your neighborhood. If you commit yourself to being God's person, you will begin to hunger for spiritual food. Time with God will become a necessity for you. When you hunger and thirst for something, you pursue it. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, and I know many of you do, and many of you are pursuing that, I want to say, like Jesus, congratulations, because it is a mark of God at work in your life. And Jesus promised you that not only will you hunger for it, but you will be filled. You will experience moments of satisfaction now, but also unbroken satisfaction later when God's kingdom comes in its fullest and final form on earth as it is in heaven. The next mark that Jesus gives us of what it looks like to live as a kingdom-ready disciple is this from verse 7. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." What is mercy? Mercy is compassion plus action. Notice here that mercy, Jesus says, is shown. It's not just felt. It doesn't become mercy until it's shown. You might feel sympathy towards someone, but it's shown. It becomes mercy when you show it by an action. For example, in Jesus' famous parable of the Good Samaritan, the way that we know that the Samaritan was good is the actions that he did to show mercy and compassion to his neighbor in need. Let me ask you, how are you doing on being a person who shows mercy? Think about your life over the last week or even a couple weeks. Is there anywhere that you have shown judgmental and hard and insensitive and argumentative and bitter and unforgiving actions towards others? I know I have. That's not being a person of mercy. Now, the mistake is to think this. Okay, God wants me to be merciful, so I'm just going to grit my teeth and I'm going to try even harder to be merciful to others. Listen, if you do that, you might be able to manufacture a few moments of mercy shown to others, but if you are not connected to the God of mercy in a regular, ongoing way, your mercy for others will eventually run out. True, that true mercy as a normal way of life requires that you keep returning to times to the King of all mercy, to Jesus, to time in his word and in prayer, time in encouraging yourself and being encouraged by others in community, so that from that you can show mercy because of the mercy you've received in those times in God's word and in prayer and in worship, and the list goes on. So you can't just get a more merciful heart by trying harder to be merciful. You get it by following this kind of path of the Beatitudes that Jesus is laying out. They build one on top of another. So maybe right now, maybe you're looking back and you're saying, man, this week I did not show mercy to my family, to my roommates, to my classmates, to my friends, neighbors, whoever. I was angry, I was stressed out, bitter, hurt, and I acted out on that. If you realize that, let me ask you, are you willing to be poor in spirit? Jesus' first statement in the sermon. Will you be poor in spirit and say, God, I need you? Will you mourn that you aren't always merciful and that you did some damage in those relationships to others? Asking God in a place of meekness to give you a new heart, one that hungers and thirsts for righteousness so much that you're willing to humble yourself and try to undo the damage you did from your hard words, your unmerciful actions. When Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, that is great news. Why? Because he's saying that true change is possible. Our merciful God is only one prayer away from you. You can be touched right now. You can say, like I've been saying this week, oh Lord, I confess to you that I need you to save me from being unmerciful to others. I want the same mercy that you have shown me to be evident in all of my relationships with all of the people that I encounter, whether online, whether in person at work, whatever in a grocery store it might be. Mercy is most often shown in our everyday relationships. It's not just one big action. It's 1,000 little ones that you do over time. Let me ask you, how are you doing at showing mercy in big and small ways to those that are around you in your everyday relationships? On social media, are you a person known as a person of mercy? In your workplace, whether virtual or maybe you're one of the people on the front lines as an essential worker, are you showing mercy? Are you known for actions of mercy? In your neighborhood, in your classmates, maybe you're a high school student, are you known for texting words and actions of mercy? How about in your family? I know that many of you are, and if that's you, I want to encourage you, and I want to thank you, because each time you act and show mercy, that builds me up. It builds up others that receive that as well. But let me encourage others of you, maybe you feel a little bit of a conviction, like I know I did working on this message. You know, my wife and kids know when I've been in the presence of our merciful God. I come away more tender, more humble, more loving, less argumentative, less stressed out, less demanding, less anxious, less irritable. And they also know when I haven't been in God's presence. I can revert back to my natural sinful tendencies to get defensive and angry and frustrated and harsh and impatient. Let me ask you, what if every single person that is within the sound of my voice, every single one of you that calls CA home, maybe you're a visitor, maybe you're a longtime part of our church, what if every single one of us committed to show mercy to others out of the overflow of the mercy that God wants to show us? How would that change our families? How would that change social media? How would it change our workplaces, our neighborhoods? How would it change our interactions in grocery stores? And the list go on. Each time you choose to show mercy, because of the mercy you've been shown by God, the kingdom of God comes in a greater way on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus says, congratulations to the merciful, for you will be shown mercy. The next mark Jesus gives us is of a person living as a kingdom-ready disciple. This in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The word pure in the scriptures can have two different meanings. The first means something that has no stain on it. The second meaning is something that has nothing else mixed in it. So a metal is pure when it's not an alloy, when there's no other impurities, no other metals mixed in with it or throughout. A piece of cloth is pure when there's not a stain on it. So to live as a kingdom-ready disciple means to be pure in heart. In other words, to live with an undivided or unmixed and an unstained heart. If I'm honest, too many times in my walk with Jesus, I have wanted Christ, but oftentimes I've wanted Christ and something else. I want Christ and I want pleasure. I want Christ and I want success. I want Christ and I want laziness. I want Christ and I want to win the argument. I want Christ and I want to defend myself. I want Christ and I want my own way. A pure heart says it's not Christ and, it's Christ alone. An undivided heart, a pure heart says God and His kingdom, He's so good. And His kingdom is so good that they are my first and my highest concern in any relationship, in any situation. Now, don't mishear me. That doesn't mean that you won't have times of pleasure or success or comfort or times that you get your own way. But those are not your number one goal in life. There is only one king in your life. And it's not the Burger King, and it's not a Belgium King. It is Christ the King and his kingdom of heaven that has come near for you and for me as well. To be pure in heart means that you will take pleasure or pain. You will take success or failure. You will take comfort or discomfort. You will take many friends or no friends. You will take a cross or you will take a crown in different seasons, as long as you are seeking Christ and his kingdom first. Well, AA is one of the most profound human transformation programs ever created, and it was founded on biblical and Christian principles. And sometimes when I'm working with somebody pastorally who has a drinking problem, I'll go to somebody else that I know that's part of the church who's been a long-time AA member, and because people that have been in AA for a long time, they love to help others get free of alcoholism. And usually when I tell them about the first person, they'll say something like, well, tell me a little bit about their mindset. Tell me a little bit about what they say to you. And sometimes after describing the first person, after 2 or 3 minutes, the AA member will say, oh, well, they're not ready. They don't really want to change. And I'll say, well, how can you tell? And they will say, well, if they're still saying such and such, then they don't really want to change. Or if they're still doing such and such, then they don't really want to change. You see, these AA members know that change is not possible until the other individual decides that they want to have an undivided heart, where they want to be free of alcoholism more than anything else. If we're quiet for a moment, maybe like me, you realize that there are parts of your heart that are mixed, parts of your heart that aren't pure, that are stained. Is genuine change possible for a stained heart, for a mixed heart? Jesus is saying that it is, because the kingdom of heaven is near, a change of heart is possible. Well, how? How does that happen? Well, it goes again back to the beginning of the sermon. It begins with being poor in spirit and mourning your heart's condition, where you say, Lord, I am poor in spirit. I am powerless to change apart from you. It then moves to being meek and humbly asking that God would give you a hunger and thirst to be a person who so experiences his mercy that you then want to show mercy to others. And yes, you don't only want to receive mercy, you want to receive a pure heart. The good news is that God is a God of mercy who can forgive your sins and cleanse your heart, giving you positional purity before his throne because of what Jesus Christ has done. His blood can wash you clean and change your heart. He can give you a hunger and thirst for righteousness and to be merciful and to want an ever more pure heart seeking first his kingdom. Let me close with this. With each of these congratulations statements that Jesus is using to begin the Sermon on the Mount, these blessed are you statements, Jesus is using what linguists call performative language. I found this really interesting as I read about it. Here's what that means. These statements of performative language, they do not merely describe something that already is, but here's the key. They bring into being the reality that they declare. Here are some other examples of this type of language, this performative language. For example, when one person says, I apologize, and another person says, I forgive you, those aren't just words. They create reality when they're said from the heart. Or for example, as a pastor, I've done weddings, and I come to the moment as the officiant where I pronounce a couple as husband and wife. And when I say those words, it actually creates a new reality. Now, that couple came and they wanted that to happen. They had the desire for that to happen. But when I declare that, I'm not just describing something, but what is happening is that there is a new reality that is coming into being. Or when an umpire in baseball calls balls and strikes, it's not just a word. That word creates a new reality for the game and the player. In other words, when Jesus declares, those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, when he says you are blessed, when he says congratulations, it has power. See, if you hear Jesus pronounce these people with these characteristics as blessed, then faith can arise in you like it can arise in me, where you begin to say, I want those characteristics to mark my life too. I want to be marked by what Jesus calls blessed. That's who I want to be. Those are the characteristics I want in my life. And the declared blessing ushers in a new reality, a new way of life, a new way to be human, living under the reign and rule of the one true King and the kingdom of God as our highest priority. It's a way that marks you with a hunger and thirst for righteousness to be a person who's merciful and shows mercy and has a pure heart. Years ago, Burger King ran that marketing slogan that I mentioned in Belgium. It said, two kings, one single crown, who shall reign? You get to choose. Let me ask you, whose kingdom shall reign in your life? God loves you enough to give you a choice. Real change is possible. Jesus has said his kingdom has come near. And you can choose to change your heart by faith and have these characteristics mark you. That's what God wants. That's the goodness of his kingdom. Will you pray with me? God, even now we pray for changed hearts. As we hear you declare that those who are marked with a hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful or pure in heart, that they truly are the ones to be congratulated and blessed. So that makes us or makes me want to desire that to mark my life even more. How about you? Maybe right now you just say to God, God, I want to be a person marked by a hunger and thirst for righteousness. God, I want to be known and marked as a person who shows mercy. I want to be marked by somebody who's pure in heart. But if I'm honest, God, if I'm poor in spirit, I recognize I can't change myself on my own. I need you. So God, would you do a new work in me? Would you change me from the inside out? Some of you, you've already experienced this change. And maybe what you need to say to God is this, God, I remember praying that prayer, and I've seen how you've been changing me, and I give you the praise. I give you the honor and glory for that. But God, as I thank you, I also say, would you keep doing it? The good work you've begun in me, would you see it all the way through to completion, that I would be so fully formed in the image of Christ that when people look at my life, they don't have to ask who my King is. They'll know. May the good news, God, of your kingdom come near to us through Jesus Christ. Call us to new ways of living, new ways of dependence on you, and new changed hearts that are marked by each of these beatitudes of the kingdom, both today and always. Listen, church, I want you to know that I am praying more for you than ever. I'm so proud of all the ways that you're continuing to share your faith, to seek first the kingdom, to obey Jesus and do what he's asked you to do. I'm so proud of you. I'm praying for you. And I believe God is at work among us in great ways. Thank you, everyone.
Just wait.
Thank you so much for being with us today online, especially if this was your first time visiting with us. Also, I want to congratulate you if you recently made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. We have had several people make commitments to Christ in the season, which is so exciting. And please know that we celebrate with you your new life in Christ. If you made a decision to follow Jesus at any point during our service, would you please let us know so that we can have one of our pastors follow up with you? You can email us at the address on the screen or text the word decision to the number 52855. Also, don't forget to follow us and stay in the know with our CA socials and our Christian Assembly LA app. You can follow along with our daily reading plan in the app as we continue to make God's Word a regular part of our lives. Let me close with this benediction. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. See you guys next week.